With What's News from the Wall Street Journal, I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. A Wall Street Journal investigation found California utility PG&E repeatedly delayed maintenance on a power line at the center of investigations over what caused November's campfire, the deadliest in California history. Wall Street Journal reporter Catherine Blunt joins us with more details in just a moment. But first, here are some other top stories we're following. In explosive testimony on Capitol Hill on Wednesday, President Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, publicly accused the president of engaging in criminal conduct while in office. Wall Street Journal reporter Shelby Holliday has more on what comes next.
Michael Cohen did say he continues to cooperate with the Southern District of New York. He also said he sat for 7 meetings with the special counsel, and he is still trying to get a reduction in his jail sentence. He was very open about that. We don't know if Michael Cohen said anything he wasn't supposed to say because we don't know the specifics about what he was cleared to say. But I think the implications for President Trump are enormous because Michael Cohen not only brought checks and evidence that President Trump knew about these hush money deals and played a role in reimbursing him, but Michael Cohen also said in various situations President Trump influenced his statements, whether it was to the Federal Election Commission with the hush money payments or to members of Congress with the Trump Tower Moscow deal. He also named Trump attorneys who were in on some of these allegedly influential conversations. And then the WikiLeaks conversations with Roger Stone, that just goes right to the heart of what the special counsel is investigating. Roger Stone has said that he never discussed WikiLeaks with President Trump. President Trump was asked about that by the special counsel. We don't know for sure what his response was. But if President Trump lied to Mueller about discussing WikiLeaks with Roger Stone, that's obviously a very big deal. So I think Cohen's testimony at the end of the day opened up Trump to a lot of legal exposure, a lot of legal problems that we didn't know about.
For complete coverage of Michael Cohen's testimony before Congress and all of the latest developments, visit our website, WSJ.com, or the WSJ app. You can also find the latest updates on President Trump's summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Vietnam. On Wednesday, President Trump said North Korea has, quote, tremendous economic potential. It's the second summit between the two leaders following their first meeting in Singapore last year. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer says the U.S. is abandoning its threat to raise tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods, an increase that was set to take effect on March 1st before President Trump announced a delay over the weekend. It's the latest sign that the U.S. and China are close to reaching a deal on their protracted trade battle. This week's quarterly results from Campbell Soup and J.M. Smucker stand in stark contrast to Kraft Heinz, which wrote down the value of its Oscar Mayer and Kraft brands by $15.4 billion. Campbell and Smucker, on the other hand, beat sales and earnings expectations in their latest quarter. Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street columnist Aaron Back has more details.
I think the underlying story here is that Kraft Heinz is owned by 3G, which is a Brazilian private equity company that emphasizes cost-cutting above all else. And while there's certainly fat that can be trimmed, it's clear now that the cost-cutting at Kraft Heinz was excessive and came at the expense of things like innovation and marketing. So if you look at Smucker's and Campbell, they have challenges. Growth is only maybe 0 or 1% in their sales growth right now. But they're doing the right things in terms of investing in new products, investing in marketing that can hopefully help them keep growing into the future. And that's the difference.
The mixed results show the different approaches traditional food brands are taking to keep up with shifting consumer tastes. Still to come, more details on a Wall Street Journal investigation into a key PG&E power line. A power line at the center of speculation over what caused California's campfire, the deadliest in the state's history, was due for maintenance for 5 years. But an investigation by the Wall Street Journal found PG&E continually delayed the needed upgrades. Joining me now via Skype from Houston is Wall Street Journal reporter Catherine Blunt. Catherine, you dug into regulatory filings regarding the Caribou Palermo line. Tell us about this particular stretch of PG&E's electricity network and what you were able to find in those filings regarding planned maintenance to the line.
Absolutely. This is a very old line in PG&E's network. It dates back to 1921. There had been some work done on the line over the years, but in 2013, it identified it as needing some compliance work. It had discovered this as part of a broader effort to identify some of these issues throughout its system. And it proposed to federal regulators that it wanted to do this compliance overhaul it got delayed repeatedly because the company said that it was simply more complex than it realized. It would require some complex engineering. A lot of it runs through the Las Plumas National Forest, and they needed to work with forest officials to figure out how to best permit that work. But they continually proposed it year after year in regulatory filings and continued to push it back. Not a whole lot of explanation there beyond what the company has provided us, which is that there was this additional complexity that they hadn't anticipated.
Now, fire investigators are still working to determine the cause of the Camp Fire, which left 85 people dead. What do we know about the role this particular line may have played in that fire?
Absolutely. It's very much worth remembering that the cause has not been determined. However, this line's become central to the investigation because it was discovered in the aftermath of the fire that one of the towers in that area had malfunctioned. A line had snapped free, and there was evidence of some broken equipment on the tower. And so there are several investigations, including one by the California Public Utilities Commission and Cal Fire, to look into what role PG&E's equipment could have played in this, if anything. But that is ongoing.
You also found that the Caribou-Palermo line was restarted after the November fire until a December inspection uncovered some more problems. What happened there?
Yes. So the company is currently undertaking an effort to inspect all of its transmission lines, distribution lines, and substations in high-risk areas. They have been doing this for the past couple of months and plan to continue through May. When they inspected this line in December as part of that effort, they discovered issues that they said were similar to issues they'd found on other lines throughout the system, which included issues with structural foundations, some hardware, and just general issues with the equipment that they said really needed to be addressed. And as we said in the story, this line hasn't been restarted since then. They said that they're doing a full safety assessment and they won't consider turning it back on until that's completed.
And actually, you anticipated my next question, which is whether the problems and needed upgrades required for this line, Caribou-Palermo, are indicative of problems we can find throughout PG&E's network.
That does seem to be the case. They told us that as part of this effort, they had shut down more than a dozen transmission lines that have had similar problems. Those have since been repaired, but those issues were discovered as part of these accelerated inspections, and they're not quite finished with it yet. So I think that is indicative that these problems extend far beyond just this one particular line, the Caribou-Palermo.
PG&E filed for bankruptcy after the Camp Fire, and investigators have also determined that its equipment played a role in more than a dozen fires in 2017 that killed 22 people. The company is certainly facing a lot of problems. Catherine, how do these recent revelations complicate the picture for PG&E?
Sure. So the company filed for bankruptcy, noting that it estimated it could face as much as $30 billion in liability costs related to wildfire lawsuits, and those are pending. You know, it's unclear at this point how much liability costs the company will ultimately face. It was cleared in findings regarding another major fire in 2017, but, you know, as the cause of the Camp Fire is still under investigation, you know, there's indications that this line could, in fact, be a problem there, which would heighten its liability burden considerably if it was found to have started the fire itself. And that could certainly complicate the bankruptcy picture quite a bit as that proceeds over the next couple of years.
Catherine, anything else you're hearing from PG&E at this point?
PG&E has said repeatedly that it's committed to change. The repairs on its transmission lines have been ongoing for some time now, and it has said that these accelerated inspections that it hopes to complete by May are going to be helping with its records keeping, making sure that it's identifying and addressing problems quite quickly. And just recently, the company filed a very comprehensive wildfire risk mitigation plan with the state, detailing how they plan to minimize these risks going forward and really make safety a key focus, given that wildfires seem to be the new normal in their territory. They're very, very aware of the issues that they face, and it's certainly top of mind for them, without question.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Catherine Blunt joining us via Skype from Houston. Catherine, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.